Then Jesus took his disciples up to the mountain, gathered them around him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men and women revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And then Simon Peter raised his hand and said, "Do we have to write this down?" And Andrew said, "Are we supposed to know this?" And Philip said, "Well, what if we don't know it?" And Bartholomew said, "Do we have to turn this in?" And John said, "The other disciples didn't have to learn this." And Matthew said, "When do we get to go home?" And Judas says, "What does this have to do with real life?" And Jesus wept. Yeah, see, none of this made sense to the apostles. It doesn't make a lot of sense to us either. But to the disciples, it didn't make much sense. And maybe it's because they didn't have the slightest clue of what it meant to be happy. You know, happy or blessed are, the words are interchangeable. Everybody wants to be happy, right? When they do surveys of Americans and they ask what is the most important thing in life, the number one question comes back with the answer, "I want to be happy." If your kids, when they make really crazy decisions, right, what is the one thing that you hold on to? Well, at least they're happy, you know? I mean, at least, not really stupid decisions, but I mean, you know, those marginal ones, you're like, what happened? But personal happiness is right up there, and Jesus knew that. Before he gives any specific instructions concerning things like marriage or prayer or dealing with enemies or the accumulation of wealth or judging people or anything like that, he talks about how to be happy. We find it at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, God wants us to be happy. And I know, people will be surprised at that. They think of sacrifice and service and a whole bunch of things like thou shalt nots as comprising what it means to have a living faith. But God is some sort of celestial sheriff sitting up there waiting for us to step out of line so that his giant thumb can come down and squish us. I used to have a Christian t-shirt that had that. You know, guys praying like this, and there's God's thumb right above him. Oh, Lord. You know, it's a great image. But God wants us to be happy. And Jesus tells us how in these simple yet profound verses that we've been looking at most of the summer. We've already come across happiness found in not thinking too highly of yourself and the happiness that can come in the midst of mourning. Neither one would be high on the world's list of ways to become happy, but they are on Jesus' list nonetheless. And now we come, blessed are the meek, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Right. Well, all along we've been saying that these Beatitudes reflect a reality that is not normal. It is counterintuitive. It's upside down, inside out, and this one is no exception. I mean, it sounds like a perfect Beatitude for a group called the Dependent Order of Really Meek and Timid Souls. Yeah, an acronym for the name of the group is called the Doormats. Yeah, the Dependent Order of Really Meek and Timid Souls. The Doormats have an official insignia. It's a yellow cautious light. Their official motto is, "The meek shall inherit the earth," if that's okay with everybody. And this name of the book that spells out the details of their organization is titled Cower Power. Cower Power, yeah. Blessed are the meek, right? For they shall inherit the earth. Really, Jesus? Yeah, we all get maybe 6 feet of earth. Which of the world's great corporations became great by being meek? Which sports team became champions by being meek? Which political leader came to power by being meek? The meek in our world, well, they're victims. They're not victors. Miserable are the meek because they get trampled upon, is the way it should sound. We live in a world where assertive training is a big deal. We live in a world where which has values or that are getting what you want is the most important thing, and then getting more of it. There are countless courses, books, television shows about getting what is due you. I mean, just watch television. You know, if you fall, slip and fall, there's 37 lawyers be glad to get your money. They've got your money. You're going to get it. It's harsh. It's harsh out there. And I remember, how many, did any of you like MASH? Do you remember? You can still watch it. It's still on television. I can't believe it. How many watched every single episode? Yeah, yeah. It was on when I was in seminary. It was the one evening event that brought all the students together in the student center. We watched MASH. Well, there was one episode where Father Mulcahy, remember him? He was passed over by promotion. And again, over and over again, all of his time, his experience, and his paperwork had gotten lost somewhere in the mix of the military. And the padre's name was conspicuously absent every time the promotion list. And he became, well, kind of hostile and belligerent. Just, he was not a very happy person. And so the friends, they tried their escapades, you know, it's a television show, to try to manipulate him to be happy with it, but also to try to get him his reward, and it all failed. They pulled every string that they could. And then Colonel Potter managed to get through to an old friend of his in the Pentagon, and guess what? The promotion came through. Hawkeye pinned his own bars on the new captain and said, "Well, these have low mileage, Father. I hardly ever captain in them." And at the conclusion, Father Mulcahy shares this lesson. He says, "The meek may inherit the earth, but it's the grumpy who get promoted." You know, that's not what Jesus said, though. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And look at some of the people. Now, this will be helpful because you can use the Bible to gauge other things in the Bible you're trying to figure out. It's using the Bible as a tool that way. What were some of the most meek people listed in the Bible? Well, if you look at the Old Testament, Moses was one of those. You look at the words in the Old King James Version. He was, quote, "the meekest man on the earth." I mean, surely he wasn't meek in the sense that we think of meek. He was brash enough to murder an Egyptian who had been mistreating an Israelite slave. He was bold enough to go into the court of the most powerful ruler on earth and demand freedom for his people. He was strong enough to lead an entire nation through 40 years of wilderness wandering. I mean, that doesn't sound like some kind of a meek person, does it? But the word the Old Testament uses that's translated as meek, maybe not exactly parallel to our understanding of meekness. The Hebrew word has the connotation of molded. Moses, of all the men of his time, was the most God-molded man. He was the one most willing to do what God wanted him to do. Now, granted, it took 40 years of training as a shepherd in the desert to learn that molding, but learn it, he finally did, and the rest, as they say, is history. How about another example from the New Testament? If you look at Paul, remember his early career? A wild man in his zeal to defend the faith, not the Christian faith now, the Hebrew faith. Followers of Jesus Christ were heretics who should feel the fuel, who should be used as the fuel to fire the hell, the fuel for the fires of hell. Then one day, on the road to Damascus, he's confronted by eternal truth that this Jesus who had been crucified was raised from the dead, just as his disciples were claiming, and further, that this Jesus was no mere mortal, he was the Son of God. Paul began to understand as he lay sprawled out on the ground that his zeal for the faith was great, but it was misunderstood, misdirected. His zeal for the commandments of the Lord had to be transferred to a zeal for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it needed to be tamed before it could accomplish anything. In that respect, Paul and Moses were a lot alike, both God-molded, God-tamed. Blessed are those that God has molded and God has tamed, for they shall inherit the earth. And what about this inheriting the earth? If it were up to us, we probably would pick the opposite kind of character to do the inheriting. Blessed are the aggressive, for they're the ones who will come out on top. Nice guys finish last and all that. But when we think about it, the aggressors do not come out that way. Oh, maybe for a little while, but forever? Rome? Her legions conquered the entire known world, but eventually in her conquest, she was spread too thin, made her vulnerable to attack from much lesser foes. Nazi Germany? Under Hitler, that nation was prepared for 1,000-year Reich, but it barely lasted more than a decade. Remember September 11th? Who did the world side with on that? The aggressors? No. Big bad us. They were on our side. There's something about the human soul that recoils from aggression. Notice the spin that's placed on armed conflict. Nobody wants to be known as the aggressor. Every shot that's fired should be in defense of hearth and home and national honor to make the world safe from the bad guys. At least that's what we want. Way down deep, people suspect that Jesus is right. The bullies of the world, whether in the schoolyard or international conflicts, they never will inherit the earth. And the proof is in the pudding. Jesus is right. Surprise, surprise, even though at first blush we might think of his view of reality as upside down or inside out, just think of the people that have changed history in your lifetime. Gandhi in India, Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu in South Africa, Martin Luther King in our own country. Their campaigns to change the world were demonstrably counter to the way that most folks might want to fashion a victory. But they won. Blessed are the nonviolent, for they shall inherit the earth. And by the way, there is a reading in Psalm 37 where Jesus just pretty much co-opted it. In Psalm 37, it said, "Blessed are the meek who will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." The psalmist is directed towards not only ancient Israel, but all of us. To see the success of aggressors in this world, the apparent triumph of evil, and wonder where is God in the midst of all of this? And over through all of the verses, the psalmist says, be patient. Things will turn out just fine. Just give it some time. When you inherit something, it is because somebody else arranged it, right? I mean, some of you, it just comes. When you get an inheritance from your parents, well, why? Did you earn it? No. Was it a payment for services rendered? No. You get the inheritance just because you are you. And what is it that you inherit? We read in Scripture the earth, both or the land, both of which are simply metaphors for everything that it takes for a good life. I love the way that Jean Peterson, and thank you for reading that, said it. Let me read this specific scripture. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Are you content with who you are? Are you comfortable in your own skin? Can you take the wonderful power that is yours and use it for something beyond yourself? Michael Jordan. Now, I'm not a big basketball fan. If it doesn't have pedals, I don't know much about sports, I got to tell you. There's some preachers can get up here and tell you about their glory days playing football, and I don't know a difference between a tight end and a loose end. I don't even know what. But, I mean, I love to watch. I love the excitement and the enthusiasm, but I don't understand it. Michael Jordan, though, played basketball. He was on a team that at one game was down by 20 points. And this superstar just pumped it up into overdrive. He contested every single shot. He scraped for every rebound. He swiped at every single pass. He was aggressive. He was ruthless. And in each play, he was supremely talented and powerful. And it seemed like he was a basketball juggernaut. He mowed over the other team as just mere human players. He was a scoring machine and a defensive fortress and overpowering was the word to describe him in that game. And then the next week came, but he was meek. He had all the same power that he'd shown the previous week. It was just that he had the ball stolen several times in the game. He was blocked out from collecting rebounds. He couldn't hit a basket because of the tough defensive pressure. He turned the ball over repeatedly. But the difference? Well, this time, he was in a benefit game against disabled students. And he let them steal the ball from him. He let them beat him. He was meek. He had all the power of the previous game, but it was governed. It was under control. You're blessed when you're content with who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that cannot be bought. I was in South Carolina. I love the Olympics, though, and I may not know much about football, but I know a lot about the Olympics. And the Summer Olympics are just amazing. When they were in Beijing, do you remember? Do you remember how cool it was? Remember that opening ceremonies with the thing with boxes? I still think they had robots in there, not people. It was just amazing how they did. But I remember, and Michael Phelps is in South Carolina. This is where he started to slip a lot in the minds of people because he was, well, smoking dope at one of the frat houses at USC where my son was a student. He wasn't in frat. It had nothing to do with it. I should be very clear about that, or he will call me. But Michael Phelps got into some trouble with that. Anyway, this is not a story about Michael Phelps, but about the Olympics in Beijing. It's amazing to watch, isn't it? As everybody puts everything on the line just to be the best they possibly can be at that moment. Well, there was another set of Olympics in Beijing. It was the Special Olympics that year. It was an amazing thing. There were 9 mentally handicapped children lined up at a starting line for the 100-yard dash. At the gun, they all came out sprinting as fast as they could. One little boy in the middle of the pack stumbled, fell down, and began to cry in shame and disappointment and embarrassment. The other 8 children heard his cries, slowed down, stopped, turned around, and walked back to him. And a little girl with Down syndrome bent over to help him and kissed him and said, "This will make it better." And all 9 children got up, held hands, and walked to the finish line. The crowd at first was absolutely silent for quite a long time. Maybe people then realized and they started to scream and shout and clap. People saw it and they're still telling the story. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So let me ask you, bow your heads for a few moments. Ask God to search your heart today. Ask Him to give you a spirit of meekness and gentleness that you need. And if He shows you anything in your heart that should not be there, that gets in the way of that, confess it. Ask His forgiveness. Ask Him to clean you of it. Because God stands ready to make you what He wants you to be. Submit to Him. Submit to His word. And let Him have His way in your life. Be God molded and bring your life under control. Yield your will to His will. Be content, for He has placed the whole world inside of you. Let us pray. Our Father, we are all wanting to be happy. And we can tell ourselves, honestly, that that's a desire all of us have in our hearts, that we have it within us, at our means, to truly be happy. But there are things that do get in the way, and sometimes those things are us. So help us, O God. Help us to be open to that which You would have us to know and to do and to be truly blessed, to be truly happy. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ.